Ladies and gentlemen, I think we might start. There are a number of people that were caught up in the rain and trying to park. But may I warmly welcome you. It's great seeing such a large number. It's very encouraging. And thank you for coming out in weather like this. I'm told that this is in fact the calm before the storm. I think tomorrow's going to be a bit more exciting weather-wise than today. So it's just as well we had it today, isn't it? But thank you so much for coming. Those who are in the neighbouring lecture hall, we haven't forgotten you. We can't see you, but we know you're there. So please feel part of the proceedings this afternoon. A special welcome to visitors. I was going to say those who haven't been on this campus before, but you say that on the other campus. I think most people haven't been to this campus before. So a special welcome. It's great to see the place full. And this, I think, is probably the first formal occasion at the Robertsdale campus. A very special welcome to friends of David and Maxine and the family too. It's great that you've been able to come. And there are special visitors today as well who are family members related to Fred Roberts and Stan Dale. Some of you have come from interstate. I won't go through all the names. I'm going to miss someone. But a very special welcome. We'd love to get to know you better over afternoon tea. It's great you've been able to come. That's very special for us. Today is going to be a full program, but we're going to move through it pretty quickly. So let us pause now and thank God for all that he's done. Today we're celebrating 25 years of faithful service on the part of our principal and Maxine, and we're thanking God today too for this new campus. So let us pray briefly before we sing. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon, thankful, Lord, for all your goodness to us again at the college. We thank you, Lord, for your provision of this campus. We thank you, Lord, for David and Maxine and their years of faithful service. And we pray that today might indeed be a day of celebration. And as such, we come to you with thankful hearts. And we acknowledge you now for all that you have done through the life of the college, for the students that you bring here. And we pray that we might leave this place today, encouraged in our faith, reinvigorated, and with an earnest desire to follow you closer and to spread your good news to others. We commend this proceeding to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. I met David and Maxine first in 1975. David was the student minister at the Randwick Presbyterian Church. And looking back over the last 35 years, I'm not sure that either David or Maxine have changed all that much. The pyramid hadn't been invented back then, but David was already a fine preacher. And both David and Maxine had a passion for exalting the Lord Jesus Christ that was really quite infectious. And it's my happy task to be able to provide some background this afternoon to David and Maxine. David's spoken on many occasions of the effect his father Bruce's conversion had on the whole family. It was to set in train a series of events that resulted in David coming here to SMBC in 1969 to begin a two-year course of study. It was here also at SMBC the following year that he met Maxine, who arrived as a first year to begin her studies at the college. Now, people often look back and they talk about the kinds of restrictions on relationships between men and women back in the olden days at SMBC. They can't have been too strict because by the following May they were married, and that was only partway through Maxine's second year. A couple of years working and then further study, and David and Maxine headed off to their first parish, which was in Weewaw in 1976. And the years in Weewaw, six of them, were to be formative years for them both, as they learned from almost everyone, whether it was from Robert Schuller at the Crystal Cathedral, courtesy of a generous congregation, or from the presbytery and wise counsel like men like Donald Campbell, or from the godly elders and congregation of the Weewaw Church. In December 1981, the family arrived in Ashfield, and it was the beginning of a golden era for that congregation. David and Maxine exerted and exercised a remarkable influence over that growing congregation. But in particular, they impacted a number of young men and women who eventually themselves went into full-time Christian service, both in Australia but also overseas. And it was thanks largely to the example and the teaching of David and Maxine. Significant as those years may have been, in many ways, they too were only a preparation for the next quarter of a century. And since coming to SMBC in September 1985, David and Maxine have been used by God to impact the lives of generations of students at this college. At a structural level, student numbers have grown from around 85 when they arrived to this year's intake, which was close to 240 full-time students and many more part-time students. Faculty and staff numbers have grown. Even the number of campuses has grown from one to two. The college offered a diploma level award when David and Maxine arrived and now offers degrees right through to postgraduate master's level. Graduates from this college over the past 25 years have gone to serve Christ in almost every corner of the globe. But all of that, I think, only tells a part of the story. David and Maxine have maintained the ethos of SMBC in a way that it is possible to say it is as sharp and clear today as it has ever been. Mission-focused, Christ-centred, and Bible-based. But not only have they maintained the ethos of SMBC, they have shaped the ethos also. David and Maxine, I think, are remarkable for the way that they have treated students like family, and they have wanted the college to feel like family. I think that's one reason why the emails keep coming in so regularly from so many of our graduates asking for prayer, telling us what they are doing and where their ministry is taking them. I've never been part of an institution where so many graduates have wanted to keep such close contact with the institution that they have trained at. Maxine's unique down-to-earth warmth, her compassion — I don't think I've ever heard Maxine say a bad word about anyone — her serious-mindedness about following Christ have complemented David's commitment to and model of a college where student access to faculty ensures that what is heard in the lecture room is witnessed and modelled and experienced outside. That those who teach not only teach, but they are seen also to live the way of Christ. And all the while, down through the years, David and Maxine have provided to countless numbers of us a role model for how to live the Christian life. I well remember in 1984, sitting in David's large study in the manse at Ashfield, while David was explaining to me with intimidating clarity just where my last sermon had gone wrong, when Ashley burst into the room. She was terribly upset about something that Ben had done or said. And while I was sitting there, as soon as she came in, David forgot completely that I was even in the room. His focus was entirely on Ashley as he listened to what she had to say, gave her wise words to say to Ben. I think they ran along the lines of, "Tell Ben not to do it again," before turning back to me in the sermon. And as someone who was about to embark on the adventure of family life and parenthood, it taught me a lesson about giving priority to your children, about how you juggle the tensions of ministry and family. And many of us have learned a great deal from David and Maxine. How to live a Christ-centred holiness in your life. To enjoy all of the good gifts of God, from coffee at the Bar Italia to a tiger pie at Harry's Cafe de Wheels, without ever losing focus on the urgency of Christian mission. To take the gospel to a lost and needy world. Those are the things that David and Maxine have brought to many of our lives here at SMBC, many of the lives who are gathered here this afternoon, and the lives of many who are not here today, because they are serving the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world.
Hello, my name is Jenny Salt, and I was a student at SMBC from the beginning of 1995 to the end of 1996. My first memory of coming to the college was the opening of year dinner, and I remember feeling very out of place and wondering if I'd done the right thing. But that evening and those 2 years that I studied here were the beginning of a relationship with SMBC which has been truly a wonderful privilege. We were always told as students, you come to go, because that's one of the emphases, that of mission, that is going out to all the world to serve the Lord. But I think I'm one of perhaps only two students who have not obeyed that commandment, because I've never really left. I have continued to study and to work at SNBC, and I have enjoyed the privilege of being part of the family of SNBC for 15 years now. It's often said that if you cut SNBC, it bleeds Bible. That's another major emphasis of the college, that if you cut our students, and we don't advocate you do that, but if you do, they will bleed Bible. I remember myself feeling like I had new eyes, that I was able to read the Bible with deeper understanding. And the more you read the Bible, the more you realise how much there is to know. But as a student at SNBC, it was like I was given new eyes to see in fresh ways the character of God, his grace and his mercy, and his love in sending his Son to die for us so that we can be in a relationship with him. That emphasis is something that has been modelled by David, our principal, day in and day out. And as I look back over my time here, there's so much for which I want to give thanks to God. As Stuart has mentioned, there is a real family feel at SNBC. David and Maxine have set a tone that is a genuine model of a church environment. Faculty accessibility has always been on the agenda ever since I've been here as a student and as a faculty member. And as a faculty member, it isn't just accessibility for students, but also for faculty. David has always maintained a wonderful integrity in relationships, but never distance. And this is something that I really valued as value now as a faculty member and as a woman. And this accessibility and relationship within the faculty is expressed in a whole variety of ways. And there are a whole lot of memories I have, but there's one that I'll just share with you. I remember taking a prospective student on a tour of the college at SNBC. And we happened to pass David in the car park, and he happened to be rumbling another lecturer, the New Testament lecturer, David Roger Smith, in the car park. I don't know why, but he was. And as I passed by, I simply pointed out to the prospective student, there is our principal and one of our lecturers. That's just another picture of the family at SNBC. I also remember going on a women's conference road trip with Maxine. The two of us went around various regional areas of New South Wales. We ended up in Wee Waa, and I remember on our day off, we went for a drive around Wee Waa, and we popped in to what seemed to me like every single person who lived in Wee Waa. I don't think it was, but it almost was. And it struck me that that was what relationship was like for Maxine, and these relationships that were set up so many years before were still precious. And it really spoke to me about the priorities that Maxine has in ministry of opening her life and her home to so many at SNBC, but also in maintaining those relationships. And I look back, as many do, on dinners and coffees and chats with David and Maxine where they have opened up their home and their life. Because generosity and hospitality are not just taught at SNBC, but they are modelled by David and Maxine. That's what it's like to be part of the family and community at SNBC. It's what it's been like for me to work there for 15 years, and it's a privilege to speak about that to you today.
Well, today is the 29th of May. And in Sydney today, it's a lovely late autumn wet day. And I've been asked to bring a short reflection on the life of David Andrew Cook in the celebration of his 25 years as principal here at SNBC. How do you begin something like that? Seems to me I'd need a folded hanky, I'd need a compelling introduction, I'd need maybe a summary of the letters page of the Sydney Morning Herald today, I'd need a big idea that's as clear as crystal on a moonlit night, and I'd need the frequent use of the phrase, "Now that's interesting, isn't it?" Now I suspect that everyone in the room today will have similar things that they could say about this man. We'd speak about his passion and service for Jesus. We'd speak about his love and care for Maxine, his devotion and commitment to his five kids. We'd have stuff to say about him, about his preaching, and we'd want to commend him for his leadership. And whether he wants to hear it or not today, he has had an incredible impact on thousands of lives. And we are grateful to God for this man. Of course, he is a man. And as is often said, the best of men are men at best. And everyone of us knows that this celebration today won't have David as the hero. But on a day like today, it is good to pause and reflect on one of those who fits into the character of the best of men. Of course, I didn't always think that. My first conversation with David was memorably disappointing. He told me not to go to Bible college and that I'd never have pure motivation for anything. Now, that may sound terribly harsh, but it wasn't quite as harsh as all that. I met David when I was 22 years of age at the front stage at Katoomba after a talk that he'd given, and I asked him whether or not I should go to Bible college or not and whether or not I had the right kind of motives. Well, he peppered me with questions. And then he said something like, everyone should go to Bible college, but don't go now. Finish your study, marry the girl you're engaged to, work for a bit, then come. And you'll never have pure motivation for anything. If you wait for that, you'll be waiting forever. You'll always have a bit of self going on. But how bad could your motivation be? And college is a place to knock that around, and ministry won't make you famous, it won't make you rich, it won't make you powerful, it'll mean sacrifice. Well, I walked away disappointed. But I saw in David, because I saw in David someone I wanted to be taught by, to sit under his wisdom and to hear him expound God's word. I wanted to start there and then. Of course, it didn't take long to see the wisdom in what he was saying. And even if I didn't want to hear it then, it soon came. David has a knack of being able to say what needs to be said, and sometimes that is hard. But you can know that inevitably it's truth, and it's truth in love. Even when he's threatened me that if I stop preaching, he'll come after me with a shotgun, it's been truth and love and the 12 gauge, I think. Or when he's called any one of us a buffhead, it's because he cares for us, supposedly. Actually, I'd like to let you in on something that I've discovered this week about this. Now, I'm no psychologist, but I'm pretty sure that there's something deeper going on when David calls someone a buffhead. Now stay with me on this, because in popular usage, we know that the term means something like a simpleton or a twit, and when David uses it, it's a term of endearment. But Buffhead was a comic character published by the Daily Mirror from 1941 to 1970, and he bears an uncanny resemblance to our esteemed principal. Note the hair. Now this could be Buffhead preaching from John 3, couldn't it? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. And of course, to change gear. I have countless memories of this man, but there is one that will never leave me. And it's David's pastoral heart. At the end of my third year at college, I found myself in a very dark place. For a couple of weeks, I was unable to function very well, couldn't get to lectures, couldn't write essays, couldn't prepare for the looming exams, couldn't sleep, couldn't fathom how I was going to be a father soon, couldn't fathom what full-time ministry was going to be like. David passed me while I was waiting outside the office of Stephen Wren. I was about to go in and withdraw from that semester's subjects. He thought that I was early for a preaching class, and so he invited me into his office, and he asked me how I was going, and I broke down. He then peppered me with questions. Leon, are you a Christian? Has sin caught you? Are you sleeping with someone who is not your wife? Are you eating? Are you reading God's word? Are you praying? We talked about those dark nights in the Christian life. It was the most helpful ministry that anyone has ever had with me. And David, I want to thank you. Amongst other things spoken that day, I recall David saying, I always think of Macbeth, Act 1, Scene 3, line 147. And as if I wasn't depressed enough, I thought, here's this bloke who not only is great with God's word, but he's got Shakespeare chapter and verse as well. Of course, now I think it's probably the only verse that he only part that he knows. But Macbeth, Act 1, Scene 3, line 147. Come what come may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day. And it's true enough. David, it is a rich privilege to be here today and to celebrate with you your 25 years in the leadership of this college. You have been God's man for this place, the best of men, and true enough, a man at best.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name's Gus, and I started here in 2007, and it's a great privilege to be able to reflect for a moment on the ministry of David and the ministry of the college. Now, as I think about my time at college, two interactions that I had with David really helped me to understand the ministry of the college and the ministry of David. The first was only a few weeks into my first year, where we were in the dining room, and David walked in, and I think it was actually my first conversation ever with David. And he said, "How was your weekend?" I said, "It was good." I said, "How was yours?" And he said, "Oh, it was good, except this rugby referee, he was terrible. He did this awful job. He was absolutely brutal to this poor rugby referee." And the attack then moved from this poor bloke to all rugby referees everywhere and their whole character. And then he turned to me and said, "So, Gus, what did you on the weekend?" And I said, "Well, David, I'm a rugby referee." So I was feeling pretty uncomfortable, and David was feeling pretty passionate. Of course, he was only half joking. But at that moment, now David's my principal, and David will always be my principal. But at that moment, all the principal and student barriers were gone. And I think that's exactly how David likes it. I think he likes to communicate with all the students on a personal level. And that's because David is a fantastic people person, but it is so much more than that. He's deliberate. He's deliberate about being accessible and available to all the students and all the faculty all the time. He's deliberate because it is a vital ministry of the college, and it's a vital ministry of all the faculty. And I know that from a student point of view, we're all very grateful for how accessible and available all the faculty are. So what it means is that our college here at SMBC is exactly what it is. It's a small piece of the body of Christ. Our college is just a small family, and it's lovely. I love it here. Now, the second interaction was the 2007 biennial preaching conference back in 2007. Now, David's prayer before he preached had a profound impact on me. Using Psalm 119, he praised God for his faithfulness that continues to all generations. He praised him for his boundless, limitless perfection of his word, the Bible. It was a great prayer, and it had a profound impact on me. Then he even went on, and he acknowledged before God the privilege that it is to sit at God's feet and listen to him speak to us through that same word, and how the majority of Christians across our globe don't have that privilege. Then David prayed, and he went on and said, "Lord, help us be good stewards of the privileges that we have." So there I was in my first year at college. I was sitting there with the perfect word of God and cross-cultural mission in the front of my mind. And then David went on to preach an excellent sermon on what the model ministry should look like from Acts 20. Then, and countless times since, I've been fueled with a passion for the Bible, for mission, for biblical preaching. And I always hear David say, "Don't you move away from that text." He's always saying that. And he said to me even once, actually the shotgun call, that reminds me. He said, "If I ever come up to Armidale and visit you and find you move off the text, I'm going to kill you." So there's a pattern here. I know it's not by chance that what's important to David, loving people, it's a family here. I'm being a faithful and good steward of the Bible and cross-cultural mission. It's not by chance that then is reflected through our whole college. See, our college's motto is, "For the sake of my holy name." It's taken from Ezekiel 36:22, and it's because SMBC exists for the sake of our God's holy name and his holy reputation. So SMBC is about growing the people who come here to know, to love, and to honour our great God more, and then equip them to send them out to get the whole world to do the same. That's what our college is all about. I'm so grateful to God for the ministry of David and this college. And so as we move into this new phase of our college today with the opening of this Robertsdale campus, my prayer is that this college will grow, but this college will stay exactly the same. For the sake of our God's holy name, be a family, be about mission, and be about the Bible.
We have a presentation to make to David and Maxine, but before I do, just a couple of comments on behalf of the board. David, it's been a privilege to have served on the board during your time here at college, and Maxine, you too. It's very important that the board supports the principal, and there have been some colleges in the past where that hasn't happened for all sorts of reasons. But it's been a privilege to be able to support David and Maxine in their ministry. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for keeping us focused. I can remember many times in a board meeting, David exhorting us to remain focused on what the college is about. We are a missionary and Bible college. The Bible, the place of God's word in the life of the college, in the life of the students. The place of mission in the life of the college and in the life of God's people. You have stressed that with us and you've kept us focused. It's so important. A college like this is subject to all sorts of influences around. Very popular things that a college ought to do. SMBC, for instance, is a residential college. For many people, that's an old-fashioned concept. But David has emphasised the place of community over and over again, the place of community in SMBC. And I think a lot of students come here because of community and what they learn from it. David has emphasised again the need to keep faithful to God's word and all that that brings. And many times that brings criticism. You know, out there are many interpretations of God's word and how it ought to be used. We must remain faithful to what God is saying in his word. We must remain faithful in going out and proclaiming that word, both here and overseas, and have a passion for mission and all that that means. So thank you for Dave for keeping the board focused. It's meant a lot. I was looking at some of the photos a little earlier. You haven't weathered too badly. David used to go to boot camp. Do you still go to boot camp? You go to the gym. Okay. There was a time when we were having trouble with Burwood Council getting some of our buildings through, and I don't know whether this is part of David's technique, but he ended up going to boot camp, I think, and doing your exercises next to the manager of the Department of Planning of Burwood Council. It didn't work, though. We still had to go to court, didn't we? But you've weathered pretty well. Maxine, can I say, too, how much we've appreciated all that you've done at the college? When you both came here, you began a road which was a true partnership. Thank you for the example that you've set. I know, Maxine, you've been busy, in a sense, behind the scenes, nurturing and encouraging students. You've been encouraging us to pray. I feel very guilty. You would often ring me and say what other prayer points that the board would like, and often I was busy. But you kept prompting. And I'm sorry, I wasn't as faithful as you were in chasing it up. But I know that you've been a faithful prayer, and you've encouraged those at the college to pray. And I know that many students here and students who have passed through have appreciated your mentoring and your nurturing of them. But thank you for the partnership and the example that you've set. We have appreciated it. So having said all of those things, we'd like to make a presentation to you. So would you like to come up? There are some flowers here we'd like to give you, Maxine. That's it. You've actually got to come right up and be seen. Thanks, Jenny. You can present those to Maxine. And we have two Bibles here to give to Maxine and David. These Bibles arrived from Ireland a few days ago. I'm not sure what an Irish Bible is, but I think it's quite sound. But we'd like to give you this and a small gift in recognition of today and 25 years of truly faithful service. We have appreciated it. Our prayers are with you. And we look forward to good years ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you again.